Today on The Journey with Pastor Steve DeWitt.
If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. Not maybe, not well, we'll kind of wait and see. He will receive a reward. If the investment is done in the kingdom of God, is done well, it is done with the right motives, it is done faithfully, it is done for the glory of God and many other categories, he will receive us.
Welcome to The Journey. Today, Pastor Steve DeWitt shares an insightful message all about the judgment seat of Christ, where every believer's works will be tested by fire. Are you investing in eternal treasures or fleeting pleasures? Well, today, we're gaining insight into how God's divine reward system works and how our present actions shape our eternal futures. It's the conclusion of a message titled, Eternal Rewards, Each According to His Labor. If you missed part one, you can replay it online at thejourney.fm. Here's Pastor Steve in 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
Look at verse 10. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through the fire. Let's begin, first of all, by identifying who are the builders. Let each one who builds take care how he builds. Well, who are the builders? And the obvious answer in the context here would be that the builders are the church leaders and the teachers and the ministers in the congregation. Paul says, that's me. I, as one of the apostles, laid a foundation for the church, which was Jesus Christ. Then he says, someone else is building upon it. Listen now, anybody who serves Jesus Christ in the church, big C, is a builder in the church. Let's identify the building materials that he talks about. Verse 12, now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day, capital D, will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. Now, you'll notice in this list of building materials that they go from most precious to least precious, right? Gold on the one end, and then on the other end, you have the straw, or if you grew up like me in the King James, stubble. Okay, so you have the two ends of the spectrum. Now, notice what is true about the last three, especially as it relates to fire, wood, hay, straw. What happens to wood, hay, and straw when there is a fire? When it is done, what do you have? Nothing. There is nothing to show for it. On the other hand, what do you have with gold, silver, and precious stones? They can survive a fire, right? In fact, I think they're purified by a fire, but that's not the point that he's making. So you have then six building materials, three of which in a fire are burnt up and there is nothing left, and three of which survive the fire. And friends, all of the ministry and all of the time and all of the things that we do in our life are investments that fall into one of two categories. They are either things that in the end are going to last and are going to matter, or they are things that in the end are going to burn up and they won't. And the fire, as he describes it here, is going to judge the quality of each one of our lives as it relates to service for the King. And Paul tells the Corinthians here that there is this day coming when all of us will give an account for our lives. This is what is known as the judgment seat of Christ. Here is another verse, 2 Corinthians 5:10, that talks about this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. And that little phrase there, judgment seat of Christ, translates the Greek word bema. Maybe you've heard it referred to as that, the bema seat judgment. And this judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment of condemnation. Romans 8:1 says it clearly. There is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. It is not a judgment of condemnation. It is a judgment of commendation, a judgment of rewards. And the New Testament all over the place says that God is in heaven. Jesus is there as the King, and he is watching and evaluating our lives, and he promises that he will reward those that serve him. And the picture that Paul uses is of fire, which is a very appropriate picture, especially as it relates to one of the characteristics of fire. Fire is impartial. Think about the California fires. Those wildfires burned poor people's houses. Those wildfires burned rich people's houses. Those wildfires burned educated people's houses. Those wildfires burned uneducated people's houses. Those wildfires burned people of all kinds of ethnic backgrounds and social standing and influence and all of that. It is completely impartial. And the judgment that God is going to evaluate us by will have nothing to do with the categories, the human categories. There will be no advantage in that moment to being American. The American has no advantage over the African or the Aborigine or anyone else. There will be no sort of like, oh, hey, you were really somebody. Okay, hey, we're going to give you a little bit of favor. We're going to cut you a little slack here. There will be none of that. The eyes of Christ will perceive according to justice and wisdom and knowledge. He will evaluate all that we have done in our life, and he will reward faithful service. This is the point of the parable of the talents and the parable of the minas. If you're familiar with those, many of you are. You know the story where the master is leaving and he gives 10 talents to one servant. He gives 5 talents to another. He gives 1 to the final one. He comes back. He says, hey, what did you do with what I gave you? Well, the 10 made another 10. The 5 made another 5. And the 1 takes the talent and he went and he buried it. And the master says, okay, what did you do with what I gave you? And the guy says, well, I took it and I buried it because I know that you are a harsh taskmaster. And the master says, well, then your own words will condemn you. Yes, I am, and you did nothing. He says, take this wicked and lazy servant away from me. You did nothing. But to the others, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that is a picture of the judgment seat of Christ, where those that have served well and have given themselves in sacrifice and service for the King will be richly rewarded, and we'll talk about what that's going to be in a later message, what those rewards are and all of that, but he will richly reward those, and those that have done nothing or little will not be rewarded. And this is why I said at the beginning of this message, if you listen today and apply the things that we're talking about, your eternity will be influenced. Because I want you to get that. There are rewards for those who serve and serve well, and there is not reward for those that do not. Which are you? Which does your life more closely resemble, as well as you can tell? And of course, there is nobody here that is the judge, but there is one. There is a judge, and that day is coming. Everything that we have done will be meticulously considered. Big things. The martyrs will be there. That'll be a great day to be a martyr. Even down to little things, cups of cold water, Jesus said, will not be forgotten on that day. Things that we have forgotten that we ever did, Christ will be there to reward. So I wonder, does the thought of that motivate you? Or has it been motivating you? Or possibly, have we just bought into the secular mindset that says that all there is in this life is what is in this life and in this world, and this is what really matters, is what you have in this world? Jesus says, don't live to be rich in this world. Live in such a way that you can be rich in the next world, where moth and rust do not decay, where thieves cannot break in and steal. Be rich towards heaven. And I believe that God intends the fact that he will reward those that serve him to be a strong motivation to major sacrifice and major service and a great commitment to serving the king. Look at verse 14. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through the fire. Friends, listen, verse 14 will radically change our lives. Radically. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. Not maybe, not well, we'll kind of wait and see. He will receive a reward. If the investment is done in the kingdom of God, is done well, it is done with the right motives, it is done faithfully, it is done for the glory of God and many other categories, he will receive us. And I just think that's a wonderful thought. And I think it's something that we don't think about near enough. That what I do this week will echo in eternity. It will echo in my eternity. What I did this last week and what you did this last week has a bearing upon the rewards that I will receive someday. And I wonder if you think about this last week that you just had, how well did you do? The Bible is filled with exhortations to serve and to sacrifice in such a way that we will receive a reward someday. And let me just give you a few of these. There are many more, but here's some examples. Revelation 22, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense, my reward with me to repay everyone for what he has done. Romans 2:6, he will render to each one according to his works. Galatians 6, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Ephesians 6, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. Revelation 11, the nations raged, but your wrath came, and the time for the dead to be judged, and for rewarding your servants. 1 Corinthians 9, do you not know that in a race, all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run in a way that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things, and they do it to receive a perishable wreath. And we know this, of course. Sports is a huge deal in our culture. Think of all the athletes. You probably watched TV, some of you yesterday, watched sports on TV, and you saw athletes who all their life have been lifting weights, and they've been eating right, and they've been running, and they've been doing practicing, and they've been strategizing, and they got all the best equipment, and they're very careful about how they tape their ankle and how they do their shoes, and they've got just exactly the right pads on and everything. They're so focused. You're going to spend, some of you this afternoon, I plan to, time watching other athletes doing that as well. These athletes do all that they do to receive something that in the end doesn't last. But we do what we do for what is imperishable. And finally, Philippians 3, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, these and many other passages show that God intends for us to live in such a way that we will be richly rewarded someday, and that that does not strip out of the service of Christ any kind of value. He wants us to be motivated by reward. And again, we're going to have another message on this, but the point is that God rewards us, and those rewards are commensurate with the service that we offer him. Now look at verse 15. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Paul is describing here the person who built their life, their service, with wood, hay, and stubble. This is the experience of the person who did, it's not that he didn't do anything. He did things, but he didn't do anything that mattered. He didn't do anything that lasted. He didn't do anything that was permanent or that would have eternal reward. And the imagery here is vivid of a man like leaping out the window of his dream house, his life's work, only in time to turn around naked and to see all that he did crumble to the ground and burn up. He is saved, but he has nothing to show for it. He is there, but naked. And friends, my heart goes out today, and my heart looks at my own heart today, and wants to ask the question, how many of us are spending our time building, as one of my favorite bands' lyrics says, castles in the sand? We are spending our time building our lives and all the time and all of the energy and all of our thoughts in things that in the end are going to burn. There will be no reward. There will be nothing. This is the person, it says, who suffers loss. And the loss there is not that he is condemned to hell, rather, that he gets to the judgment day and there is a realization of what his life could have meant for God and what his time could have produced for God and what his talents and treasures could have done for God if his life lived on earth had been lived differently. He looks around and he sees others being lavishly rewarded by Christ. And he sees the reward that could have been his and the commendation from Christ that could have been received. And friends, I want to tell you, we have no idea what it's going to be like to step into the spiritual eternal world of heaven and to stand before the King in all of his glory and to have all of the angels and the seraphim and all of that there. It's just resplendent. It's like nothing we've ever experienced. There is the King. And now comes my opportunity to stand before him and to know that all that I did in my life on earth is now being evaluated impartially by the King, and to know that I will then have either from him the reward of a life lived well, or I will suffer the loss of a life not lived well. Nothing will be better than hearing from him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Nothing. Like, you're gonna be there going, that's what I want to hear. I want commendation from Christ. And nothing will be sadder in that moment than disappointment. Now, I want to address right now what I think some people are thinking. Some people are thinking right now, well, at least I'll be there. At least I'll make it. And I got to thinking about, like, what word could I come up with to describe a mindset that says, at least I'll make it. And I struggled between some like mashing of words together, which I sometimes do. But how do you make idiotic and stupid go together? I don't know. It's a tough one. To plan to fail. It reminds me of my buddy, Brian Wright, who played baseball, and this is a college buddy, played baseball in college, and there was a guy in his team with him. His name was Larry, and Larry was an education major, was studying to be a teacher. But that's the problem. He never studied, like ever studied. He was just one of these athletes who, you know, ugh. And my buddy went to him eventually and said, "Larry, how are you ever going to be a teacher if you don't study?" And Larry's response is classic. He responded by saying, "What? You didn't have any bad teachers?" Now there's a bright one, don't you think? Planning to fail. I would say, I don't know that that guy ever really wanted to be a teacher in the first place. And similarly, I would say to somebody who says, well, at least I'll be there. Have you really ever come to grips with the real Savior? Have you given your heart and life to him in what is saving faith? Because it's hard to see how somebody who just sort of looks at it like a, I don't care if he's happy with me or not, I just want to make it. Is that saving faith? Is that a heart that knows Christ as Savior? I'll leave that for the Lord to judge. But I'd like you to think about even this last week. How'd you do this last week? Is what you've done this last week, what echo is that going to have in eternity? Has there been this last week for you any gold moments of ministry? Any silver acts of service? Any precious stone moments of compassion? Or was your life spent this last week largely building things that in the end won't matter. And we're going to spend time on what these degrees of reward mean, but I have a burden today for our church, because if I can say this pastorally, and I'm not here to beat you up. I'm not the judge. I am not the judge. But I want you to realize that there is one, and that day is coming for all of us. And my burden is, just pastorally, it seems to me that we have some who, from what I can tell, are not building anything. You've got a shovel around here that you're leaning on, and you think, well, everything will be fine. Do you realize, friend, you're going to stand before the King, and you're going to give an account for your life. And I want you to be rich. I want you to be rewarded. I want to hear, and I don't know how this is going to be, how this plays out. I don't know if we get to be a part of hearing what happens with other people. I just don't even begin to know. But I would love, I think, I hope, to be there with the Bethelonians who are being evaluated and to hear from Christ over your life. Well done. Well done. Enter into your reward. I want that for you. And I want you to want that for you. So why not ask God to give you a heart today that resembles the words of Jim Elliot, which I have loved for so very long, and many of you know. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Or maybe the little statement that was on the plaque in my home growing up. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. There's a lot of truth in that little statement. There's a lot that will change the way that we live in that statement. There's a lot that will change the way that we spend our time and our resources and our hearts. I want you to be rich. I want you to be rich towards glory. And in the end, by the way, there is no glory for us in the sense that, hey, look at me, because all that we do is by grace. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. So in the end, Christ gets the glory. But what a good we get from the hand of a generous master.
Everything we have, everything we are, and every good thing we experience is a result of God's grace and generosity towards us. You're listening to The Journey with Steve DeWitt and the conclusion of a message titled, Eternal Rewards, Each According to His Labor. Remember, you can always replay and share these Bible lessons by visiting us online at thejourney.fm or by subscribing to our podcast. Just grab your smart device and search your favorite podcast app for The Journey with Pastor Steve DeWitt. Well, here at The Journey, our goal is to be here for you in your own faith journey, guiding you towards the timeless truths found within God's Word. Every day, through our broadcasts on the radio and web, we journey deep into Scripture, presenting its insights in a way that's both accessible and relevant to your everyday life. But we couldn't do it alone. As a listener-supported program, we rely on the generosity of friends like you to continue spreading the light of the gospel across the nation. Will you partner with us today in this vital mission? You can call us at 844-7-JOURNEY. That's 844-756-8763. Or give online at thejourney.fm. And to say thanks, we'll send you a book titled The God Conversation, using stories and illustrations to explain your faith. Our beliefs are challenged from many directions. Every day, it seems more difficult to explain to our friends, family, and neighbors what we believe and why. When our ideas and arguments fail to persuade them, then what? In The God Conversation, veteran apologists and communicators J.P. Moreland and Tim Muehlhoff argue that the best way to win over others is with a good story. If you have a love for stories and a heart for sharing the gospel, this is a resource that you're going to want to have. And it's yours with a gift of support to The Journey. Again, call 844-7-JOURNEY or visit thejourney.fm. I'm Tim Svoboda, inviting you to join us tomorrow for another message from 1 Corinthians. We're learning more about God's eternal rewards and why we should seek them. That's Friday on The Journey. with Steve DeWitt. Today's program was produced and furnished by Bethel Church in Crown Point, Indiana.